Yesterday about the header, that the beginning and the creation of our world came about through a chesaron. Hashem needs a world where there are people who have chesaronos, so you can be mole those chesaronos. And he created the world dafka by hiding his light, he mitzamtzem his light, in order to give the Bria a place to exist. And we used the mashal. We used the marshal of a film, of a movie, the way it works. The more you, the what's creating the movie is not the light as much as the light that's been hidden. If you wouldn't have the film and just have the light, you just have a bright white light on the wall. What gives you your movie, what gives you your pictures is the hiding of the light, the shadows. That's what casts the image on the wall. So that was the marshal he used in order to understand how Kodesh Baruch Hu created the world. He created the world by hiding his light, by filtering out his light in different permutations to give fruition to this. This is just light of Hashem, that's all. This is just the movie on the wall. And there's the foam, which are the filters, we call them the spheres in Kabbalah, and the light is Hashem himself. Hashem filtered his light out to create all the different, and that's called Var Hashem, whatever that means. I can't what we said yesterday. Just so we don't forget what we're trying to do is we're still trying to understand what's Tzadik Ra law. What is this question that's bothered greater minds than mine? Moshe Rabbeinu, David HaMelech, the Melochim. Kol Gedolei Ador who are concerned about what's this Tzadik Ra law, Rosh HaVetoiv law. So the first step we took is understanding that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world by hiding himself, Lamaisa. That's why the world Olam is called Olam, because it's from Loshan Ne'elam. Okay, let's take one more step. V'mtzal Olam din kemiyad v'tchilis habriya nikva ha'yosod ki ein metzir shel gilu toive b'lo shikodem lo ha'edah. So we understand now that right from the beginning of the Bria, a foundation was laid that you won't have any revelation of good without there first being a lack. That's Hashem created the world. The world was created by first creating a space, creating a lack, creating a chesaron, and a hole. Give me yachol, what the words mean. Ki hishreira shabriya mitchilosa v'kachi metzias habriya b'kol rega. If there was the metzias and the root of the bria when it started, that the Bria starts with a lack, with a hiding of Hashem's light. So that's the way the Bria is going all along. That's how that's set into the Bria. Ikron ze mitbatei b'kol ha'tchumim, and this applies everywhere. Ein metzia shel tzmichas ilon bli rikvoin mukdom shel azera hamatz mechase ilon. You will never get a tree to grow out of a seed if that seed doesn't rot. First, the seed has to rot, has to disintegrate and become nothing, and from that sprouts a tree. A beautiful application of that. Beautiful application. Why does the seed have to rot and disintegrate? If the seed doesn't, you keep the seed fresh and nice and hard and keep it in the freezer, nothing's going to grow out of it. You stick it in the ground, you water it, it rots, it disintegrates, and from there sprouts the tree. Think about it, you'll see many examples. Kamo Kain, Hayom HaRishon Shel HaBriah Matchil Be Vayehi Erev. Where does the Jewish day start? What was first created? Vayehi Erev. Behed Ra'o, a lack of light. And then you get Boike. Erev is always a simon for evil, for ra, for negativity. And Boike is the light. Zugam Metzias Adam B'kol Tchumov. And that's how Adam works in all his aspects. Gam koiches hanefesh hatumenim bo einim yoytzim el apoel ele derech metzia shel heder. All the koiches hanefesh, all the potential that a person has, is only revealed, is only actualized by a metzias of heder. Kol mi shenisnase ipam v'chash pachad mimaves o mesakona muchshis acheres yodeh ki b'sha azu mitgalim ba'anam koiches atzumim. Anybody ever been in a frightening situation, in a near death situation, when you were out in the sea and you got dumped by a wave or whatever, you know, and you don't know if you're going to come out or not. You ever had one of those moments? Or you're sitting on an aeroplane and or a pit bull terrier is chasing you, you suddenly learn to run much faster than you ever knew you could run. Everybody knows that at those moments, enormous abilities get revealed. I never thought he could do things like this. Sometimes you're facing a nisoyan, not after physical nisoyan. Anybody has nisheinus? Everybody has nisheinus? You get facing and you're thinking, oh, man, I don't know where to start. I don't know what to do. You got the wrong guy, Hashem. I don't have a degree for this. And then what happens? You push, you squeeze, whatever, and you look back. You go, how did I do that? You discovered a whole new set of skills that you didn't know you had. How did that come about? Dafka through the... It was dafka the problem that he had, the hiddenness of the light of Hashem, which was revealed to him what was hidden inside of him. That's what takes something from potential and actualizes it. There's a sugi ma'od amok, you have to try and see whether it's into your life.
He spoke this in the breakfast we had last week.
He doesn't speak about much else. That's the theme of his whole Torah. We're getting more and more into it. You'll see the last chapter as well. Built totally on this. That was the Kodesh Baruch who created the world. It's a tchilim, tzimtzum v'kav. That's the whole bria, adasof. He hides himself. In that place where Hashem hid his light, there was a darkness, there was a lack of Hashem there, which was beyond comprehension. Where were the Yidden before they got to Har Sinai? In the Midbar. What's a Midbar? A place where there's no water. What's water? Torah. The Nisraelis Klal Yisrael then through the Midbar before they got to Har Sinai, Noir Vayoyim. The Nisoinus a Jew goes through Sfira Sa'ime? Think about it. Torah Shabal came at Hasina, right? After 49 days of Midbar. Terrible Nisoinus, terrible place. The Midbar is not a nice place. No Ruchnis at all. Total header. And what happens after that header? The greatest Gilu we ever had in our lives. Hashem B'Kvedu B'Atzmo spoke to every Yid. Right? How does that match today? Who was Torah Shabbal Peh? Rabbi Akiva. Look at the head of Rabbi Akiva between Pesach and Shavuos. 24,000 Altaminim died. Kulu Torah Shabbal Peh got lost. It was darkness in the world. You've learned the Gemara. The Gemara says it was darkness in the world. The same darkness they had in the Midbar. What comes out of that? Asina. Back to Asina. Kulu Torah Shabbal Peh came out of that. All the Torah Shabbal Peh we have today from the 5 Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva that he got after the 24,000 died. Or taught the same pattern, you'll see it everywhere. There's nowhere where this pattern doesn't work. There first has to be a hiddenness in order for the Gilu to come out. That's how Hashem created the world, and that's how Torah gets given. You ever opened up a Gemara and learned the Sugya and understood it straight away? Or you had to throw the Gemara out the window 20 times and threaten to kill yourself and pull your hair out before you got pshat? The way it works. And then you forget it and you have to do it again. That's the Metzias of the world. That's Luchoy Sheni. That's the header. You see it everywhere. This principle applies everywhere. That's the way. Child conceived. Everything. Just sit and ask, I'm serious, it sounds crazy, but sit and meditate for 20 minutes on why it is that a seed has to rot before a tree can grow. Forget about what comes out of that seed. You know what's inside that seed? It's beyond our comprehension. A computer today that can replicate what goes on in a seed. The billions of calculations that have to take place in order for a tree to grow out of there, not just a tree with fruit, with seeds, with infinite potential. A little grape seed has infinite potential. What did he say? I knew this once. How many millions of pieces of information, of data there are in a grape seed? It's millions and millions of pieces of information in there. They all have to coagulate and come together, be duke at the right time. And that can't happen until that little seed rots and there's nothing there. You can't see anything. And from that, poof, comes out a tree. Beyond comprehension. And every tree knows which tree to grow. It's the same question over the human seed. We spoke about it the other day. There's one seed, there's one cell, contains everything inside it for the baby to grow, right? Then it splits into two. Then it splits into four, and then into eight, and then into 16. If you take any one of those cells, they contain everything. And at some point, those cells know which one's going to be an ear, and which one's going to be a nose, and which one's going to be a toe. And no one knows how that works. No one knows how that works. They just put that down to evolution. That's it. Hang that on any, you know, just, that's whatever. That's just some kind of interesting engineering accident. How does the toe know? And it's got it all. You can't say, well, because it was a toe. That's why it knew it to be a toe. It could be anything at once. Who told that cell to be a toe? The same as the tree. Who told that grape seed to grow as a grape seed? In every cell in that grape seed is the entire universal experience. Why do grape seeds only grow grape trees? No, you plant a watermelon seed, you don't get an oak tree. Never, ever happened. Why not? It could happen theoretically. And it only happens when it rots. If you understand this yesod, obviously we don't understand it to its depths. I told you the Arizal wrote Sforim on the sugya. We don't understand this, but we understand. We have Mosholim, we have Dugmot of what this means. That before there can be a sprouting of light, there has to be a header. That's why Hashem created the world. There has to be a Ne'elam, a Elam. This whole world, by the way, is a Moshol for that. This whole world is Elam, where Hashem's hidden, and eventually Hashem will reveal himself, we're called Tokfa. When Mashiach comes, we'll have V'mala Kol Haaretz there. Complete revelation of Hashem, Dafka, because of the header. So after we've understood a little bit, we tasted a little taste of this understanding, we can now start getting a bit of an answer to our question of what's Yusurim and what's the purpose of Yusurim. Matarosim Litzues Mokam Haeder. The Yisurim are there in order to create that space, that Mokam Haeder, that lack. Dainus a cholol sheboyoy chalanim legolis es atzmoy. If there's no hidden light of Hashem, where's a place for you to reveal who you are? If it's all just infinite wonders, then where's space for you and me? Where do you and I get to exist? In the face of an infinite oneness, you don't exist. You can't exist. Correct? That's the definition of infinite. You can't live outside the infinite. So how do we do that? Kodesh Baruch Hu created this symptom, this sugya called symptom. It's nice, we don't understand it. It's impossible, but that's the way he did it. And in that space, you now get an opportunity to reveal yourself, because without that, you don't exist. As long as life's just going straight and beautiful and nice, no problems. You never get to reveal who you are. But everything's just going well. Imagine your dream life. Imagine for 1 month. Okay, enjoy this one. Whatever you want, you get to write the script. Hashem comes to you and he says, you've got half an hour, you can design your life. You got 90 years, 120 years, however long you want. You can choose how long you want. What children you're going to have, what money you're going to have, panosa, health, whatever. You write the script, you can have whatever you want. You'd write your life differently to the way it is now, right? You'd eliminate all the suffering. The whole religions, world religions, the biggest world religions today are based on one yesod. The elimination of suffering. Buddhism, you know that Buddhism is the entire foundation and yesod and theory of Buddhism, Zen, whichever of the theories you come up with, is all based on one thing. Elimination of suffering. Rabbi Tetz has an amazing book that he wrote with that he wrote letters between him and a Buddhist Jew, Zen Buddhist Jew. And a fascinating book, very big insights. But that's what Buddhism is based on. The whole of Buddhism is based on that you saw. That's what he revealed. That was his big Chiddush, the big guy that founded Buddhism. If he did it. He was a very wealthy prince. came from the Brahmin, would have to be a Brahmin, yeah? The only troublemakers are the Jews. They're descendants of Avram. The Brahmins, who are the priestly caste in there, is from Abram. Those are the sons of Hagar, of Keturah, that Avram sent east with gifts. And they started the four-sprung caste system and whatever, and the Brahmins are at the top. And if you... It's the same spelling as Avram. Where did they get that name from? It's Avram. What was I going to say? So he was from the Brahmin caste. He was a prince. He came from a wealthy family. And he was sheltered most of his life. And he went out and he saw all the suffering and everything. And he cooked up this anti-suffering. That the whole of Buddhism is based on that yisod. It's a total denial of reality. Total denial of reality. We say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created suffering. He created Trump. He created suffering. Right? And why did he do that? Because that's the way that you get to reveal yourself. It's only dafka through the problems and challenges and difficulties that you have that you get to find out who you are. If you would design this perfect life for yourself, you wouldn't ever discover who you are. Whenever you need money, it would be there. Whenever you need health, it would be there. Whatever you need is just there. You know how much muscle you're going to build? You enter the gym and the first thing you do is get rid of all the weight. You know how much muscle you're going to build in that gym? It's dafka the weight, the resistance, the gravity. You know, no one would play sport. Baseball would be ridiculous without gravity. Who would play? Yeah? You know, the guy smacks the ball and it's going and it's going and it's going. And the mama stops about 3 meters short of a home run. You ever seen the guy turn around and throw his what do they call them, his bat on the floor and go, gravity, damn. If I was on the moon, if you were on the moon, you wouldn't be playing because there would be no point. It's only because of the resistance. Why do people play computer games? If I would give you the cheat key to Pac-Man or whatever it is, that kid, I don't play Pac-Man anymore. It's not. we used to go play Pac-Man in break at university. They had Pac-Man machines all over them, Pac-Man championships and whatever. Imagine if someone would give you the cheat key to Pac-Man. You push one button, you're on the fifth level, finished. All the little munchies eaten. No one would play. Why not? Because there's no room for me there. Where do I fit in here? I want to test my skills against the other guy or whatever, or against the machine. But if it's just you push a button and everything, you understand there's no purpose for the world to exist if it wasn't for this header. And that's what everyone's trying to avoid. All the advertising, all the money, everything in the world designed for one thing: to get you out of your problems. You can just sit back and just zore in. But the whole world's designed for that, no? And if I can make some bucks out of it, why not? You'll never be able to reveal who you are. You'll be a nothing. You'll stay nothing. It's only through this void and through the yusurim. That's the only way you can reveal who you are, build who you are, and reveal who you are. So we don't ask for suffering. We don't ask for nishaynas. But when they come, we welcome them. We kick and scream and we shout and why me, and we go through all the habituated responses. But the correct response is, okay, the trainer just put a few more weights on the bench press, you know, things that I can handle. And by the way, it's a big compliment, because when you get that yesurim, it's a Kosh Baruch Hu telling you, I trust you to do this, I know you can deal with this. You kidding? I can't handle this. Okay, then there's tefillah. I'm not going into how we deal with it. There's tefillah and there's betochen, and there's all the person has to work on it. But you wouldn't have got to where you got to now in your betochen, in relation with Hashem, in your tefillah, what if you didn't have some real serious problems in your life? Why would anyone daven? Who would daven if they didn't have problems? To be honest, I wish we would daven as well when things are good, when things are bad, as we do when things are bad. We sometimes better than on the toiv. When things are bad, you daven. Whoa, do you daven? Once asked a very wealthy guy, big millionaire, multi-millionaire, asked him how he made his money. He said, I'll tell you the truth. From God. He said, I'll tell you the truth. He said, it was one Thursday night or Friday, Wednesday night. I was going home and I knew there was no food in the house. There was a wife and two hungry kids, and there wasn't a crumb of bread in the house. And I really didn't know what to do. I was shattered, broken. I was an accountant. There was nothing in the house. So I went to Ma'ariv. He said, and I davened a Maariv that I've never davened in my life, not then, not before, not since. And here I am today. I now got you. The next day, my boss called me and introduced me to one of his clients that he didn't want to deal with, the Chinese guy that had just got off the boat. And I was a Nebuch, and he was a Nebuch, and he put us together. Turned out this Chinaman was a billionaire, and they became partners. And it was a kind of whole story with him. Write a whole book on this guy. It's an amazing story. How the Chinaman ripped him off, and he's left with nothing again. Well, interesting stories, but he said, now had there been bread in the house, who knows what would have been with that Maariv? He said, I've done with the Maariv. He said, I've never done with a Maariv like that in my life. I said, when you were wealthy, did you ever daven a Maariv like that again? He said, never. Never, not Shaykh. What about thanking Hashem? You can't. You know that yourself. You know that yourself. You promise Hashem, Hashem, you just give me what I need here. Just take care of this. I promise you, I'll daven like this forever. Just give me, and you know what happens. You get it, and 3 days later, what's going on? Hitting the snooze button again. We know that. Anybody don't know what I'm talking about? No, poshut, poshut. I know it's happening to you because I have a clue. If it's happening to me, it's happening to everyone. Not maybe the same story, but the principles are bejuk the same. I never met anybody who's not playing the same game. Okay. Ach, however, adain aleinu lamik b'inyan. We've got to go a bit deeper. We haven't got this properly clear yet. We have to stop here because it's already 10 o'clock, so it's a good place to stop. But we haven't finished there. That's not the end of the story. We have to understand where. Let's go a bit deeper here to understand this.
Thank you.
Shkoch, have a good day. When you're not here, it's very hot because I get in late. I have no time to make coffee.